Yep. And we decided to continue. So we got till Lamed Aleph and Aleph, approximately till the Mishnah. So maybe we'll start from that Mishnah and Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph. The Mishnah is assuming that we already know the next Mishnah, Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. The Mishnah, beginning of the fourth Perek, lists off the Asara Chilukim Shebei Mominus L'Nefoshim, 10 differences between our Din Torah and Din Mominus, as opposed to a case of Din Nefoshim. So one of the differences in the case of Din Nefoshim is 23 Dayot. So we got till Lamed Aleph and Aleph, approximately till the Mishnah. So maybe we'll start from that Mishnah and Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph. The Mishnah is assuming that we already know the next Mishnah, Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. The Mishnah, beginning of the fourth Perek, lists off the Asara Chilukim Shebei Mominus L'Nefoshim, 10 differences between our Din Torah and Dinim Mominus, as opposed to a case of Dinim Nefashis. So one of the differences in the case of Dinim Nefashis is 23 Dayanim. It's an Adrik Tana. In the case of Dinim Mominus, it's in Torah. It's sufficient with 3 Dayanim. That's easy. And then the other 9, that's Exeris HaKosim. Then the other 9 differences are based on the principle of the Hitzila Ho'idah, that you always try to give the person a break when it comes to Nefashis, when it comes to Malkus. You always try to give him a break. So one of the 9 differences that's based on the Hitziloida, the 23 verses 3, that's not based on the Hitziloida, that's a din, just an Edric Tanan, here it's enough, but the Bezna 3. But the 9 differences, one of them is that in the case of Din and the Foshes, if the Bezdin paskin that he's Chayiv Nisan, and then later on, they think that maybe they have a way to be Malamed Zchus. Maybe they should change themselves. So the din is Machzir L'Zchus, they Machzir L'Choyvos. Let's say they acquitted him. They had a case of Depression that said that he's Kotel. Then later on they think that they made a mistake, they want to reverse themselves. So the Mishnah says Machzir L'Zchus, they Machzir L'Choyvos. You're not allowed to reconvene the Bezin to change the Psach to say that he's Chayiv Misa. What you do, reconvene the Bezin to say that he's off the hook, to say that he's Kotel. Opposed to Dinimominus is Dinimominus. What are you going to be exactly? You're going to give him a break. The break that you'll give him is going to be a hefset to the other party. There are 2 parties in Dinimominus. That's what Tosis points out. You cannot give anybody a break. Whatever will be a schus for one will be a chadah for the other. So Dinimominus, you follow the strict halacha, the strict din. The Bezin really thinks that they may have made a mistake. So they have to reconvene and reverse the psak, whether the schus or the chadah. So this Mishnah is picking up on that thing. This Mishnah, Lamed Aleph and Aleph, is assuming that you already know that. So it says, Kozman Shemei, right? Let's say the Bezin, they had it in Torah, the Bezin passed that Reuven Oshim and $5,000. And then a few years go by, and they think that they made a mistake. Or they come to the realization that they absolutely made a mistake. Somebody, new evidence comes up, they find some new documents, and the witnesses show up. And they realize they made a mistake. So the din is called manchin, maybe raya, say so sadin. Whenever he brings any evidence that contradicts the psah, so the halacha says that they have to reverse the psah. That's the Mishnah, Machzir bein l'schus bein l'chayv. The shaila is the following. What if Bezin doesn't want to be annoyed with this? Sometimes the avid interior keeps on schlepping the oil and void. We thought that we finished, and then the other guy says, oh, he's going to bring some more rating. Then we thought we finished already, then the other guy says, oh, he's going to bring some more rating. And he schleps us forever, and the Bezin doesn't have forever. They don't want to keep, they have so much room in their file cabinet. They don't want to keep on another folder, take up a whole 10 file cabinets just with one miserable dinter. So the Bezin says, look here, Hebra, we'll give you 30 days. That's it. At the end of the 30 days, bring whatever you want. And that's the end of the story. And don't hakachanik anymore. So what's the din in such a case? Omaloi, or omuloi. What if Bezin tells the 2 chevre, the 2 baladin, korai sheesh lecha, any evidence that you have? Havei mikan rach loishim yom. Please be kind enough to bring him within the next 30 days. So then the Mishnah says, okay, so that's the halacha. If he brings evidence within the 30 days, it's accepted. If they didn't make it by the deadline, so they lose. Comes Rav Shimon Gamliel, he says that's not fair. Why should he lose? Just because the Bezin wants to clean out their files before Pesach, and the wives tell them they want to get rid of all the junk in the house and too cluttered up. Throw out a couple of files of evidence and everything. So just because they want to throw out all of their notes and everything, and the kin halt kap is so long, and every time they have another session, they have to go chazer over. What he said, just because it's a nuisance, and therefore they have a right to make a cutoff point with a deadline and say, all the evidence has to be brought within 30 days, and afterwards it's too late. What kind of a din is that? There's no din of chumash. My ass is eshulam, matzut tashlovshim, matzalach shloshim, was is eshulik. Just because he didn't find the evidence, Bezin can strasha him, Bezin can threaten him and say, oh, bring all the evidence within 30 days in order to be mezarizan, in order that they should shake a leg. But if he didn't bring the evidence within 30 days, there's no reason to say that he should lose the case. So L'chai Rav Shimon Gamliel is right. The Gemara says, B'tata Pasna like Rav Shimon Gamliel. The Gemara says on this Mishnah, even though Yochad V'Rabim, Halacha K'Rabim, but we have a rule, whenever Kol Mokma Shoshan Rav Shimon Gamliel, the Mishnah say, or whenever a Mishnah, if it's a Brais that quotes a dispute between the majority, the Chachamim and Rav Shimon Gamliel, so you're going to pass them like the Rabbi. But if it's a Mishnah, Kol Mokma Shoshan Rav Shimon, the Mishnah say, then the Gemara says, Halacha K'Moyse, we're going to pass them like him with very few exceptions. I was going to talk how many exceptions are there. One, three, yeah. There are a few Rambams. In several places, the Rambam paskins against Rav Shimon Gamliel, even though his opinion appears in the Mishnah. So because the Mishnah, his commentary on the side of the Rambam, is the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, Allah, and there are only three exceptions to the rule, and those Rambams are not the three exceptions. So the Kesef Mishnah says you have to keep in mind there were two Tanoim with the name of Shimon Gamliel. Two different people. They're both the son of Rabbi Gamliel. Okay, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Okay, but they were two different people. So when the Gemara says, come back and Shimon Gamliel, it means that one and it doesn't mean that one. And how do you have the Ruach HaKodesh to know in any given Mishnah which one you're talking about? So the Kesef Mishnah says, well, it depends whom he's talking to. If he's talking to this Tana, then he's in one generation. If he's talking to the other Tana, then a different generation. And the Rama might fashtan that the only time the Gemara says, Kamak and Shoshana Rajabak, Mishnah Seinu, is this Rav Shimon Gamliel, not that. It leaves you hanging. Here, the Mishnah, you can't tell whom he's talking to. And the Gemara says that this is the Rav Shimon Gamliel that we are going to pass through. Okay. So what is this machlokes? Fine, we pass the like Rav Shimon Gamliel, but what do the Chachamim think? It's not fair. Why do the Chachamim think that if the Bezin says to them, look here, any raya, any witnesses that you have to bring within 30 days, and if not, you lose. So the halacha says that he loses. Why should that be so? So the Chayyur, the Pashta, says that it's based on Hefke, Bezin, Hefke. That Bezin has the right on the level of the raya, so there just is no such halacha. Bezin has a right to change the Minatayrah, if any party will bring evidence after the 30 days are up, you're going to have to follow that evidence. But with the Rabbanon, we say, we have a right to ignore that evidence. So the Chacham Sheet is based on Hefkebez and Hefke. So what does Rav Shimon Gamliel disagree? He also, what he holds that there's no such din as Hefkebez and Hefke. So the answer is, yeah, fine. There is a din of Hefkebez and Hefke, but we can't convene now, it's Lila, so we can't convene a Bez. That's a different story. But let's say by Yom, I see you have a very nice tape recorder. It says Leisachmoy, but Sof, I'd like to have a tape recorder. You have a nice watch, you have nice jewelry, you have a nice typing. So I'll convene a Bezin, three Chevra, we'll say Hefke Bezin Hefke. The watch and the tape recorder and the Gemara and everything you have, your house and everything. Your wife, I would like to take your wife also, but there's no Hefke Bezin Hefke on Issa the Hefke. But I'll clean you out, I'll take away all your money. So I won't be in violation of L'Sachman. I did it legit. Hefke Bezin Hefke. Mafke, everything in there, so there's no violation. So that's ridiculous. You only have a right to use the principle of Hefke Bezin Hefke if you have a tzorah. It has to be a legitimate tzorah. It has to be a tzorah of God. It's done because if someone sneezes, it's a tzorah. I need the handkerchief. So you're going to be mafke the other guy's handkerchief. I should have what to blow my nose. You have to have a tzorah God. So that's the machlokes hatanaim. And this is tzorah level. Or is it not a targol, the tzorach, that the Bezin shouldn't have to halt kap for so long. The Bezin says, it's too hard for us to keep on, we're busy with other things, looking at the work for a living, They have other Dina Torah. They can't keep on halting kol. They're going to get confused. This Dina Torah, that Dina Torah. Or they don't want to have the files kept. They keep for records. So they say, look here, we don't want to stretch this out for more than 30 days. Any riot that you have, any stories, any aid, and bring it within 30 days. So the Tanna Kamma holds that that is sufficient reason to employ a Hefker Bez and a Hefker. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel disagrees. He says that that's not sufficient reason. You have to have a strong cause. You have to have a Tzorach Kotlin. Tzorach Kotlin is not sufficient reason to declare Hefker Bez and a Hefker. That's Alti Pashtus, the Machloek Satan. They all agree that there is no such thing. You look in the Chumash from cover to cover, there's no such din that the Bezna has the right to make a cut-off point, but they all agree that there is a principle of Hefke Bezna Hefke. Whenever you have a Tzorach, Bezna has a right to change the din. Hefke Bezna Hefke in this case. And the Machlokes is this a Tzorach God? There's such a sugya in Baba Basra, in Cheskes Habatim, and it's a repeat from the second parak of the Siddhas. In Baba Basra and Cheskes Habatim, the Gemara has, by Kol Di'al and Gvar, in the Sugya of Kol Di'al and Gvar, on Lamed Aleph on the base, going over to Lamed Beis Amad Aleph. So the Gemara has two cases. One case is in Dinim Amunis, and one case is in Issa Behedeh. The case in Dinim Amunis, just roughly speaking, is like this. There was a Din Torah. Somebody was holding on to Mammon. He was the Mursak on the Mammon. So they had it in Torah, and Bezin said, sorry, according to the evidence that was presented, you have to surrender the Mammon and give it to the other part. So he follows the Pesach finished. Then a while goes by, and he brings evidence that the whole thing is the reverse, and Bezin has to reverse it again. So they already intervened. The Bezin already intervened over here. Originally, Reuben was holding on to the Mammon. And then they forced Reuben to surrender it to Shimon. Now they're going to have to reverse it. A month later, they're going to have to take the Mammon from Shimon and give it back to Reuben. So that's a shayla, as he loses the Beit Din. First he passed like this, then he passed the Faker. It's an embarrassment to the Bezin. So the Gemara has a machlokes amarayim. Should the Bezin reverse the Pesach? And the anan achsinan, how does the Gemara have the expression? Anan achsine, we gave him the karka. And we take it away from him. We're not concerned about the bush of the embarrassment. People are going to be laughing at the Bez. What kind of bunch of morons are these? First he's open. Truth of the matter is not their fault. Originally he didn't bring sufficient evidence. So based on the evidence that was present at the time, the halacha says he's passing in his favor. Then based on the evidence that's brought later on, the halacha says that outweighs that evidence. The Bez didn't do anything wrong. They're innocent. But the Bahamayinam won't realize it. The Bahamayinam will think that they're a bunch of morons, that they keep on changing their mind. They couldn't figure out the din before. They couldn't. They don't have Ruach HaKodesh. They don't know he's going to bring more evidence later. So the Gemara says, that's a machloikis. What do you say? Loi chashin is elusive the Beit Din, or yes chashin is elusive the Beit Din? What's the issue? Whether yes chashin or loi chashin? It's a mitzvah to be mevazer Rabban. Of course you're not supposed to be mevazer. Of course you have to try to protect the respect of the Bez. So was bashtek the machloikis? So the pashtus is, machloikis is the following. The Din certainly says that the Bezin the first time passed them correctly based on the evidence that was presented at that time. If later on you bring more evidence, the halacha says the Bezin has to change the Psa. That's our Mishnah. Calls Mancha maybe Raisa Isa Sardin. Marzirim Beimus Chuz Beim Lechoyim. Didn't remember this. It doesn't matter. You can't say, give him a break. You give him a break, it's going to be Luchagos of the other party. So you don't say the Hitzila Hueg in the moment. All the Hitzila Hueg is only in the Foshas and in Malkus. So strictly speaking, the din is you can go back and forth, the Yom HaVod. He brings evidence, it's in his favor. He brings it in his favor. But the Hamayinam is going to lay up at the Bezin. So it's a shayla from Hefke Bezin Hefke. Does the Bezin have a right to employ the principle of Hefke Bezin Hefke in order to protect their reputation? In order that the Hamayinam should declare. So what's the din? Do they or do they not have the right to employ Hefke Bezin Hefke in order to save themselves from embarrassment? So that's the machloikis that the Gemara has. Exactly considered in Tzorach Bavim. You only have a right to employ the principle of Hefker Bezin Hefker to take away money from a person if you have a Tzorach Bavim. All the takanot the Rabbanon and the area of Din Mamonot are based on Hefker Bezin Hefker. Because the Chachamim saw that there's a need to make such a takana. So they declared Hefker Bezin Hefker. So the question is, you have to have a Tzorach Bavim. If you have a Tzorach Bavim, a Tzorach Koton, that's not sufficient reason to say hefker business. So that's the machlokes that the Gemara has in machlokes Amarayim, whether they lose the Beit Zidin or Hashim is losing the Beit Zidin, the concern that people will be poking fun at the Bez and what a bunch of morons, and they couldn't figure it out the first time. But some of the people will understand it's not their fault. It's because the Balabatim, the Baladinim, didn't bring enough evidence the first time. They brought more evidence the next time. So the Bezna has no choice. They have to reverse it stuff later on. So that's a shaima. Is that a tzorah? Well, or is that a tzorah? That's all pashtus just come up with. Then the Gemara continues to Lamed Aleph on the base, on the base on the Aleph. The sugi continues in the area of Isavahetta, not any moment. In the area of Isavahetta, so this is the Gemara that comes from Ksubis and Zarkovov. But the Gemara has a story, the fellow's father is a Kohen. Now whom did he marry? We're not too sure. Did he marry a Grusha? So all the children are halal. And did he marry an Ishak Sher? In which case all the children are Kohen. So we always assume that a Kohen married an Ishak, a religious man, he probably married an Ishak Sher. And the children are Rokan, he was always the Ches Tiskuna, he was Dukhan, he was getting Ali, he was making pitching up. Then one fine day, and the Echad comes, the two Eidim come, whatever the complicated story is, somehow the Bezin has to say no more Aliyahs, no more Koyin, no more Duchening, no more Pidyon HaBenz. We're not so convinced that you're a Koyin, we think you may be a Cholom. So we're Moirid him with Kuhnos. Then later on, a month or two later, he brings evidence and everything is cleared up and he reverts back to the way it always was, that he really is a Koyin. So the people are going to be living. What a bunch of tipshim they are. First, the guy was always muchzik kohen, he's 25 years old already. So he always kohen. Then they came up the chumrah of the day, the chumrah of the year, nishkin kohen. All of a sudden back again a kohen. And that's what we said all along. We knew he was a kohen for the first 25 years. So what are the men stand on their head to declare a month or two ago as a nishkin kohen? Must be a bunch of tipshim. Must be a bunch of morons. So that's a shayla. Where the chashin was he loses the bidding. So the more quotes of machlokes tatanai. Gemara says that we're not sure. A Braisa has a machlokes hatanaim, but the Kohen, he was a Kohen, and we moved him. I'm not acceding. We moved him from the status of Kohen. Do we restore him back to his status of Kohen? It's a machlokes hatanaim. We're not sure what the case is. So the Gemara suggests maybe this is the ukimta. Maybe this is the machlokes hatanaim where the chashina was the elusive of the dina. What's the issue over here? Before we said, in the case before, by the Kol Adal and Gvar case, it was a case of Dini Mominus. That originally Reuben was holding on to the Momin, and then Shimon brought up semi-evidence. And Allah said, we have to award him the karka, whatever it is, or the matan, the boat, the huvarka, the boat. So we took it away from Reuben, we gave it over to Shimon. And then later on, if this Reuben brings evidence, and we're going to take it back from him and give it back to the other. So that's a shayla of Zeilus of the Beinina. So maybe we should employ the principle of Hefker Bez Nefker. Is that a Tzarach Gadol? Or is that not such a great Tzarach Gadol that you have a right to use the principle of Hefker Bez Nefker? Here, we're talking Yisra the Hefker. We're not talking about Dini Mamas. We're not talking about using Hefker Bez Nefker to say whether the man is a Koyin or Nishkin Koyin. Whether he duchen, he doesn't duchen is not a function of Hefker Bez Nefker. But here, there's something similar, not identical, but something similar that was on the level of their ice, you go back and forth a million times, and whatever it is, the final status of the final evidence, if the psak is that is a kind, you can go back and forth 100 times, whatever the end of the story is, that's how you have to pass it. But the problem is, it's going to be a busha for the bezin. People are going to be laughing at the bezin. So maybe you have a right to make a chumra de rabbonim, mishmartim es mishmartim. You cannot take a non-koyim and say, it's a busha for the business, so let him act as a kohen, we'll let him get the first aliyah, and we'll let the first aliyah maybe mitzvah of Yisraelah, but the question whether the kohen getting the first aliyah is a din deraisa, din derabbana. The Gemara says in Gittin that it's a din deraisa the kidashta, but Taisus and Chulan on that design says that it's only an asmachta, the Gemara didn't mean it. So maybe the first aliyah is only a din derabbana, not so big. Maybe you can get the first aliyah. Maybe on a dinner rabbanon, chleif kavod abriyah. Maybe you can fabeg a little bit. But let's say pidyon haben, that he's eating truma. What do you mean? It's the haniser. Haniser. I said truma the rabbanon. What's with the pidyon haben? So here, the Gemara only has it in one direction. In Mamad, it can work in any direction. In the Issa, the hefet only goes in one direction. Originally, we assumed he was a kohen, and then, based on evidence, we had to unfortunately be more in him. We had a paskin that he should no longer function as a kohen. Now he brings evidence that he is a kohen, so he wants us to restore him to his correct status, to his former status. So maybe we should make a chumra midirabbanon. The chachamim are authorized. The chachamim are authorized to introduce chumras whenever you have a tzar. You can't introduce kulas. They're not allowed to permit you. What? They're going to permit you to drive to the synagogue on Sabbath in order to retain Jewish identity. They can't do that. They can't introduce kulas. They were authorized by the Torah. They can tell you, you're not allowed to do this, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to blow shofar and Rosh Hashanah calls on Shabbos. And they had a million zeiros. Millions and millions of zeiros. The Rabbanim, don't do this, don't do that. I say, siyog la'tor. They can tell you, even though you're a kohen, we don't allow you to do pidyat anyway. You should not get the first aliyah. You should not eat truma. So, to b'shevi al-tasa, to tell you not to do things that they have a right to do. So that's the case that the Gemara has in the east of the Hefer area. The Gemara only has it in one direction. In the Mammonis, it doesn't matter which direction. Mammonis, you can say, hefke bezna hefke, they can mafke your mom and give it to me, they can mafke my mom and give it to you. But in Eastern Baptist, it's only in one direction. Originally, they thought he was assumed he was a kohen for 25 years. And then we paskin incorrectly, but at the time we thought it was correctly paskin, then no longer a kohen. We realized that we made a mistake, and this man is a kohen. Then later on, get more evidence. It turns out that what we thought the first 25 years of correct, he really is a kohen. But there's over here a reason to introduce a chumrah. The reason is not because the shmartem is mishmart, they're afraid someone's going to violate something. Not a siyog, a say siyog latar. Don't do this. Don't carry the cameras because maybe you're getting carrying them shoes around. No. Don't get the first aliyah because it'll be an embarrassment to the bezin. It's a siyog for a different chashash. So that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara thought maybe that's a machloekis satanoim. Whether chashin or zilus is a degina, about that you have to be concerned about the COVID of the. So you're not allowed to be mevazin, an individual tamachok. You're not allowed to be mevazin, a body of tamid chacham. Not let it be mevazeh abez. But the shaila is that a tzorah godl, is that sufficient consideration to say that you have a right to say, to make a siyog latar, to say that a man who really is a bona fide kohen should not function as a kohen. We have to leave him as a cholof. He has to suffer for the rest of his life as a cholof. He really is not a cholof. We're sticking on him the status of a cholof and a rabbah. If a chalutza marries a kohen, we stick on him the children of Cholom and the Rabbah. Minatara is not a Cholom. Minatara, Chalutza is permitted to marry a Kohen. Gemara says it's only forbidden with the Rabbah. But if a Chalutza marries a Kohen, in order to be Makazik, that prohibition that it's awesome with the Rabbah for a Chalutza to marry a Kohen, the Chacham felt it necessary to declare that if a Chalutza goes ahead and marries a Kohen, all the children she's going to have are going to be Chalom. Chalom, they're not allowed to go to the cemetery, they're not allowed to marry a Grusha Zen of Chalom. Minatara, they're not Chalom. They have the status of chalolim lahachne. So there I understand there's a tzarech gadol. The chacham felt the tzarech gadol. If they won't declare the children as chalolim, so every woman is a chalutz, so we'll just go ahead and violate the din. So there there's a tzarech gadol. Here the shaila is, do we have a right to declare this kohen over here who has finally been ascertained as a bona fide kohen? Do we have a right to declare him as a chalolim in the rabbanon? For what consideration? What's the reason? What is the elucidate idea? That the people of the Habalabak and the Hamoinam who didn't chap what happened will think the rabbis are just changing their mind because they didn't work it out the first time. They're not changing their mind. There was insufficient evidence, and later on they brought more evidence. So we had a reverse tipsa. So that's al pashtus the tushto that the Gemara has between the two cases. That in both we're talking about employing the principle of Hefker Bezna Hefker by the Abu Arba case, by a case of Bini Mammonis. The Bezna awarded the Mammon to one party, if the whole hassle. Kamatzors, they awarded him, you're going to change the psak because new evidence comes. It's going to be a busha for the Bezna. So is that a tzorech gadol to allow you to declare Hefker Bezna Hefker? And the same shiloh over here, the man is really a kohen. Do we have the right to declare him as a cholo that he should suffer for the rest of his life? He's going to be a kohen in Atar and a cholo in the Rabban. So he can't marry Grusha in Atar. He can't go to the cemetery in Atar. But we won't allow him to be makor of korban. So he won't allow him to get the first aliyah. He can't get the first aliyah. And he can't get shlisha. He has to get mafzeh. What's Takeda doing if there are people around like that? There's a Chalutza married. Some of these people are very fine, upstanding, righteous citizens in the shul. It's not their fault. The mother was a Chalutza. Sometimes it was B'shoigeg. Sometimes it was B'shoigeg on the part of the mother. She went to a rabbi, didn't know. A woman is a Chalutza. She marries a Kohen. She didn't know. Sometimes B'shoigeg. So then she has children. So the children are Cholom and the Rabbanim. And there is Nishna Cholom. The Rabban is a Chol. So you can't give him the first Aliyah, because the Rabban is a Chol. You can't give him the third Aliyah. He's a Kohen. And after he's a Kohen. You can't give him any of the Aliyahs later. He's a Kohen. So what do you give him? Mafter, Achron. Hagbek Liyah. He's tough Nebuch. Can't go to the cemetery. He's really a Kohen. He can't do Pidyon Aden. But the Rabban is not a Kohen. Nishtahin, Nishtahet. He's stuck. So that's Alpi Pashto to Tzushtal that the Gemara has. Is this Zilusa the Beit Din? Is this a tzara gadol? That's sufficient reason to allow you to employ the principle of hefker as an hefker and to employ the principle of ases yod latar shmartim as mishmarti, or it's insufficient tzara.
Isn't there a case in Kiddush where there's a mistake in measuring, and Rabban says it came by koyim?
Yes, that's another thing. Right. Such a similar thing. Even though they made an outright mistake in dividing the moment, but because of the bizoyan to the bezin, so we should employ the principle of hefker bezin hefker, right? A similar idea, a similar notion. Here the Gemara comes to the conclusion that zilusa de beit din aloy hashin. Here there's no zilusa de beit din. We'll be able to explain to the public. There will be a few people who will think that there's something wrong with the bezin. But by and large, we'll be able to explain to the public that the bezin didn't make any mistake at all, that the first time they passed like that based on that evidence. And 2 months later, there was more evidence that they had to reverse the psalm. That's the final conclusion of the Gemara. That this is a tzarech, this is not such a great tzarech. This is a tzarech kot, it's not a tzarech gov. But originally, the Gemara thought that was a tzushtam. Is it a tzarech gov or not? Really, it's a bit of a problem, this sugya, because there is a Magid Mishnah on the first Rambam in Hilchos Chalitza. There's a gigantic Magid Mishnah there. The context of the discussion is, we know there are sugyas in Shabbos, in Paragraph Lezer Mila, other places, about an Eifon. A woman gives birth to a baby. So sometimes you know that it's a full-term pregnancy, sometimes you know that it's post-mature. But a lot of times you don't know. You don't know if it's a full-term pregnancy. It may be it's a loikol alochadoshev. That's a shame. You have to step back a little bit. What's called a full-term pregnancy? What's called a full-term pregnancy? So that's a machlekes in the Gemara in Eden. Whether you're ledes letisha, a woman has a 9-month pregnancy, do you say you're ledes limukutoy? Means into the beginning of the 9th month. As long as it's 8 full months into the beginning of the 9th month, that's normal. That's called a kolal chadasha, it's a full-term pregnancy. Or should you say no? Your letters, letisha, any of your letters, limukutoy. A woman has a 9-month pregnancy, has to be 9 full months, each month consisting of 30 days. That's how it says in the Gemara. If you hold any of your letters, limukutoy means chapter. Shortened, abbreviated. So if you should assume any of your letters limikatoin, then you need 9 full months, each month consisting of 30 days. You don't say every other month is 29 days, and every other month is 30 days. You don't say every other month is 31 days, and every other month is 30 or 31 days. You don't say it like that. 9 full months or 30 days. That's what it says in the Gemara. The Achrenim have a whole pilpul about this in Shulchan Aruch. How do you calculate 9 full months? And some say 29, 30. That's to say it's against the Gemara. The Gemara needed the fish. That if you hold your letters, Letitia, and your letters, Limitatan, you need a Kodol Lechadash, means a full term pregnancy. So full term means 9 months times 30 days. So the Rishonim have a machlokes, have a paskin. Do we assume your letters? Let's say, for example, a woman gives birth to a baby. You don't know if it's full term. You don't know if it was a full 9 months, but you know it was more than 8 months. You know for sure she was pregnant for more than she was carrying the baby for more than 8 months. We don't know whether it's a full 9 months or not. We don't know exactly when she became pregnant. So that's a machlokes in the Gemara. Am I right? And that's a machlokes, the Rambam and the Ramban, how to pass. Whether you're letters, Letisha, A woman has a 9-month pregnancy, your lead is Limukut Torin. Into the beginning of the 9th month, that's sufficient to be called Kolol HaKadoshim, or any your lead is Limukut Torin. The Ramah, on the end of Eben Ezer, quoted Tshuvas HaRashbeitz, I think it is, that whatever the din was, Bizman HaGemar, Bizman HaRishayim is irrelevant, Bizman HaZen, Ishtam HaTvoyim, and now it's perfectly normal that a woman gives birth into the beginning of the 9th month. She doesn't have to, no one has to wait till the full 9-month pregnancy. So if a woman has a birth, has a ledah, after 8 full months of pregnancy into the 9th month, so there are more paskas that that's normal and that's considered kolol hachadosh. The my nafkamina, what's the nafkamina? So there are several nafkaminas. So for example, one nafkamina is avelus. Avelus is only the rabban. Let's say a baby is born and the baby dies right away. Baby's born, the baby dies. So if a baby is chalila stillborn, the baby is born dead, then there's no avelus. There's only avelus if the person was alive and he dies later on. But if the person was never alive, so then one doesn't observe avelus. So the shaila is, if a baby is born and he dies soon after he was born, should I consider it like he was never born? Or should I say no? He was born, he was alive, and then never he died. So the Gemara presents it, the Gemara Shulchan Aruch presents it in these terms. If it was kolol hachadosh, if you do a shekolol hachadosh, if you know for sure that it was a full-term pregnancy, a post-mature, and then the baby is born alive, and then it dies soon after. I say the baby was alive, and it died, and there's a din of avelus. But if it was loy kolol hachadosh, if you know it was loy kolol hachadosh, the baby was born not a full-term pregnancy, and then it dies soon after. So then I declare it was always an eikel. I say, even though it was alive for a while, it's make-believe alive. It wasn't really alive, it was never alive. What if you don't know one way or the other? A lot of times you don't know. Was it a full-term pregnancy? Was it not a full-term pregnancy? Then the Gemara says, you wait 30 days. If you don't know what is kolol hachadosh, well, that kolol hachadosh, so kol sheshoa ba'adam shloshim yom, if the baby survives for 30 days, is a raya b'yadua shekolol hachadosh. Is a raya, then it must have been a tigloy mulsim mafre, it must have been a full-term pregnancy. Then if the baby will die after the 30 days are up, so then I declare, oh, it was alive, and then it died late. If the baby dies within 30 days, so then I assume, oh, is that right? Loi Moslem Afre, it was loi Kol HaKadosha, and one doesn't observe Avet. That's how it says in the Gemara. So that's the Shaila. How does that translate to Zman Hazeh? If one should assume that Kodol HaKadosha means into the beginning of the 9th month, into the beginning of the 9th month, so a lot of times we have into the beginning of the 9th month. So let's say baby is born after 8 full months into the 9th month. You say that that's called, there are more paskins, that's called Kodol HaKadosha. So even if the baby dies a day or two later, it doesn't have to survive a full 30 days. It only has to survive 30 days if it's unsure, if it's unclear if it's kolol hachadosh. But the Ramah seems to paskin that we hold into the Mishtana Hatzvon, whatever was in the days of the Gemara, whatever was in the days of Rishayim, is irrelevant. The Zman Hazeh, we know that that's perfectly normal. 8 full months, the beginning of the 9th month, is kolol hachadosh. So then there's no need to wait 30 days. That's the pashtus, the way the Ramah seems to paskin. Or there in Eben Ezer, where is it? What's the context of the Ramah? He's talking in the end of Eben Ezer by Chalitza V'Yibum. A couple is married and the husband dies and he leaves no children. So the wife has to have chalitza. What if the couple is married? They have a child. They have children, grandchildren, they have a whole family. And then the husband dies, and right after the husband dies, the Nazis come and they wipe out all the descendants. It doesn't matter. And the woman survives and the brother survives, the husband's brother survives. So what do I care? If at the time the husband died, there were descendants, so there's no need for chalitza v'yibum. But the shaila is, what if the husband died and the wife was either pregnant or the wife just had a little tiny baby who was just born and we're not sure whether the baby was kolol hachadosh or not kolol hachadosh? So the Gemara makes this whole cheshbon. So the Gemara says that if you know v'yodua shekolol hachadosh, so I know that there is a surviving descendant from the husband, so there's no need for chalitza v'yibum. Even if the baby dies a day or two after it's born, what's the difference? There was a survivor. Is there a yeshlo? Zera yeshlo, so there's no chalitza v'yibum. What happens if it's Any Adon Kalala Hadasha? And then the baby is going to die within 30 days. I say, Tiglonamilsalamafreya, that it was Loi Kalala Hadasha, and the woman is going to be Khalid. That's what it says in Gemara. So the Rambam quotes these dinim, but the Rambam, in the very first page, the very beginning of Hilchos Yibum Chalitza, throws in a statement, a fascinating idea that doesn't really say in the Gemara. The Rambam holds that this whole idea, that if the baby dies within 30 days, and if it's any Yodua, Kolo L'Chadoshim or not, you don't know whether it's a full-time pregnancy or not. So the Rambam makes a statement that this whole thing is all a Chumra Midirabam. On the level of their eyes, a baby is born, and he lives an hour or two, he lives a day or two, and he dies later on, he assumed that he was alive and he died. Why should you shetla Ryan and say, glory to for my prayer, he's never alive. But the Rambam says, the whole idea that if the baby dies soon after he was born, that he considered as if he was never alive in the first place, the whole thing is only the Rabbanim. So the Magen Mishnah has a long arichas on the first page in the Rambam, in Hilchos Yibum Chalitza. How does it work out over there, and how does it work out over here? It starts working everything out. Then it gets stuck. So all the details don't stim. So he gives you a yisayit in order to farer for everything. So he says, you should have your dua, you should keep in mind that in order to be machmer on a din deraisa, in order to ask the carrying in a karmelis, in order to ask the writing with the left hand on Shabbos, you're allowed to write with the left hand because lachayad, it's only forbidden to write with the right. But now, in order to ask the you have to have a tzorach. You have to have a tzorach. It doesn't have to be the greatest tzorach in the world. You have to have a tzorach gadol as opposed to an insignificant tzorach gadol. It has to be a tzorach gadol. But in order to take away somebody's moment and give it to another person, you have to have even a greater tzorach. Even though it's easier, the mechanism of hefke bez nefke is easier to understand. You're changing a din deraisa. On the level of their eyes, you're allowed to carry in a karmis, you're allowed to write with the left hand. Coming up with a new musuk, you're not allowed to. In the area of being a moment, the mechanism, how it works is easier than saying, hefke bez nefke. When I tell her the money is yours, but the rabbona, the money is no longer yours. It says that once they change it, once they change the din their eyes and moment, it's changed on the level of their eyes. It's changed on the level of their eyes. They said, hefke bez nefke works in a third. And it's his money. If you're going to take it, you'll be in violation of like six. If the one who's entitled to the money in the Torah will keep the money, now after they change the din, it'll be in violation of Leisigzel on the level of their Isa. Because the Hefke Bez and Hefke works in the Torah. If you're going to write with your left hand on Shabbos, even after Eke Flostak Kol after they introduced the Xer Drabbana, it doesn't become an Isa their Isa. If you're carrying a Carmelist, after Eke Flostak Kol is still only an Isa their Drabbana. So even though after they change a din their Isa in Dini Mominis, it's changed on the level of their Isa, because the mechanism that you're employing, the Hefke Bez Nefke, works even better than, and it says that it works better than Aseisi Aglater. But he says, in order to have the right to employ the Hefke Bez Nefke, he explains you have to have a greater tzorach to take away someone's mom. So it's a shtickle, a problem, this Gemara in Bava Basra that I referred you to. And Lamed Aleph on the base, the Gemara is talking about taking away somebody else's money. So we have a right, originally the money was Yad Reuven, and then we had a paskin that the money goes to Shimon based on the evidence that was available a month ago. And now a month later, because there's a piled up more evidence, we have to reverse the psak. So the Gemara says, maybe we should say Chashinim is elucidate the Din, and maybe it's a busha for the Bezin. Maybe that's a Tzorah Godel to declare Hefke Bezin, let's already leave the money by the one who has it, not to embarrass the Bezin. So in order to say that it's a tzorach gadol, enough of a tzorach gadol, and in the moment you have to have a greater tzorach than Nisa the Hefke. So how does the Gemara know to say that this machlekes amaroyim should depend on this machlekes atanoim? The Gemara says, Mishum detalya ba'ashli rabbi. The Gemara says on Lamed Aleph from the base, 10 lines from the bottom. The machlekes amaroyim, where the chashinim and zilusa the deidin, and in the moment is dependent on a machlokes hatanayim, and they quote a case by the kohen with the cholol. The kohen with the cholol is an area of isa v'hefta. You don't need such a great tzorach like you need by hefke bez. So how does the Gemara know to make a hashvah? So that's a problem. Okay, that's a major problem. According to that Magen Mishnah on the first page in Hilchos Yibum Chalitza, you have a problem. But the gist of the whole Blat Gemara is clearly like that, that in order to introduce changes in halacha, so to speak. If you want to change it in the raisa, either in the area of dinim amidus, employing the principle of hefke bez nefke, or to change it in the raisa in the area of dinim amidus, employing the principle of yesh keach v'yad chachamim, Lakadon la Torah or Ases Yod la Torah Shmarta Mesh Mishmarti, you have to have a Tzor Godel, Tzor Kotn is not enough. And there is a Machlokes in the Gemara whether this Chashin and Zilus of the Beit Din, does this really constitute a Tzor Godel? Or is that not such a great Tzor Godel? Maybe enough people will understand why the Bezna had changed the Pesach, because they brought more evidence. So similar to that is the Shayin and the Machlokes HaTanayim and the Mishnah. The Rav Shimon Gamliel says that this is not sufficient Tzorech, because the Bezna doesn't want to be bothered to halt cut for so long. They want to get rid of the whole Torah in 30 days. So they said, Strash the Baladinim. They said, look here, bring all the evidence within 30 days, because otherwise we're going to give a Pesach. Okay? Give a psak, but to say otherwise going to be chafal, that even if you bring the evidence after the 30 days, we will not accept it. So Rashbach says that that's not fair. That's not a sufficient surrogate, just because they don't want to clutter up the house. They don't want to clutter up their mind. They can't concentrate on so many dinitur at the same time. So don't chazer over. What do you do when you have dinitur? You have to keep on. You have one session, and a week later you have another session, a week later you have another session, and sometimes it goes on for a year. So each time you have to chazer over again. What did you say? What did he say? All right, so you spend the half of the session. Zibigechazer. You look over your notes, and you chazer over again. Okay. So the Tanakama holds that that's enough of a Tzorah Gadol to employ Hefke Bezdeh. Rav Shimon Gamliel says it's not. And the Gemara says, Halachik Rav Shimon Ben Gamliel. In the first case, we pass on like Rav Shimon Gamliel that it's not enough of a Tzorah Gadol. That's the first case. Then, the second half of the Mishnah has nothing to do with the first half of the Mishnah. The second half happens to be the same personalities, Machlokes Rav Shimon Gamliel and the Tanakhama, the same Rav Shimon Gamliel, not the other one. It's the same Rav Shimon Gamliel. Because the Mishnah said there were two, but these two are the same. So, and the second case is a different case. The Bezdin is about to wrap up the case. And they turn to Reuven and they say, look here, did you bring all the evidence that you have? We don't want to waste our time. Tell us, did you bring everything you have or do you have some more? So he says, that is it. I have no Araya, I have no Eden, I have no Shtoret, that is it. Rabboisai, be nice enough, give me a Pesach. Then they turn to Shin and they say, do you have any more evidence? Are you still going to hakas at Shining or is that? He says, that is it. Gomarna, he has no more evidence. Machta Haiduaz Baldin, that he doesn't have any evidence. And he made a Haiduaz Baldin, so they both made a Haiduaz. No one twisted their arm, but asked them, do you have any more evidence? Should we wait to issue a Pesach, or is that it? So they both said, without being forced with anything, that is it. We don't have any more. So they made a Haiduaz Baldin. Then, a month later, a year later, he discovers another shtar. He finds that there is some more Eidim. And he says, here my Eidim. So what's the din if a person makes a Haiduaz Baldin? And we know that it's not true. He makes a Haiduaz Baldin that he owes $1 million to someone else. I make a Haiduaz Baldin that on the first day of Slichas I borrowed $1,000 from you in Flatbush. I wasn't even in New York. I can bring 100 witnesses. I was in Baltimore. My son made a bris on the first day of Slichas. I wasn't even in New York. So the Gemara says, Haiduaz Baldin is so powerful, the Gemara says in Bava Metzia, Daf Dalet, Ain't a b'hakosha v'hazlam. Even though they'll contradict him, say it's not true, you don't even know that man, how could you borrow money, he doesn't know you, you don't know him. Well, b'mazim you, imano ha'yisim, you were in Baltimore, you weren't even in New York. Doesn't happen. Haiduaz Baldin ain't a b'hakosha v'hazlam. Even though we know that it's not true, the Haiduaz Baldin beats out all other rights. That's in fact Achreinim, right? That's why the Tosefta in Bava Metzia, the Gemara quotes that Tosefta that has a lashon. Haiduaz Baldin kimeya eidim dami. Why the Guzma? Haiduaz Baldin kiatora seidim. Why they say kimeya eidim dami? So they said that's what it means to say. What the Gemara said that Haiduaz Baldin is eidim ba'akosh of Hazam. It's not such a precise expression because we have a principle that trei kimeya. The two witnesses, the Gemara learns that, the Mishnah and Marcus learns that from a pasuk. Al Bishnayim Eidim, Al Bishlosha Eidim, Ibn Skayam is Eidim, Bishnayim, Lalam Parvach HaKosav, Bishlosha, Ela Adiloch, that had Maki Shlosha Bishnayim, that Trey Kineya, that two witnesses say one way, and 100 witnesses say the other way, this is not considered strong evidence. Trey Kineya, two witnesses, is the same level of Birur as 100 witnesses. If you have two witnesses say one way, and the other two witnesses are Mazim, the first two witnesses, they testify, how can you say you were there? Imanu Hayisim, you were in a different city on that day. So that's the Pasuk in Chumash that says that the Hazama The mezimim are believed against the first category. But if it's not a hazama, it's a hakoshim. It's trey and mayor. Two say like this, and 100 say the other way. So that's the halacha, that trey and mayor. So despite the fact that that is the din trey and mayor, the halacha says like that. But in common sense terms, one would have thought that 100 witnesses is a better evidence than two witnesses. The halacha says not so. So that's what Achreinim said. I think Rabbi Yosef Frankel quotes it in the beginning of Bab Metzi and Abdallah. That perhaps that's why the Tosefta uses such an expression, Hadas, Baldin, Kimeyo Eidim Zomi. It's trying to say, it's the top level of Eidis that it's saying about Hakosha Bahazaman. Even if you're Muslim, you say you weren't even in New York on that day, you were in Europe on that day. How can it be that you borrowed them out? You don't even know who the man is. The man doesn't know you, you don't know who he is. How can it be? It's Hakosha Bahazaman. Hadas, Baldin is Eidim Bahakosha Bahazaman. So, here is a Shaila. The parties made a hadas baldin. The second half in the Mishnah. What does it have? Om aloy, on the first white line in the Mishnah. Om aloy, the Bezin tells one party, Havi eidim v'yoma eili eidim. Havi raya v'yoma eili raya. Have no more eidim, have no more raya, that's it. And he encourages the Bezin, give up stock, I'm not going to be able to produce any more raya, any more evidence. I checked my record, that's all. And then afterwards, later on he brings Raya. So what's the din? He made a Hoidoz Baldin and it's contradicted by Eidim. So what's the din if you have Hoidoz Baldin? So the Gemara says, in Bob would say, Hoidoz Baldin, Kimeya Eidim Zomi, Kimeya Eidim Zomi, that it's ain't about Koshava Zomi, so the Hoidoz Baldin wins. But the Shaila over here is, the fellow has an Amas law. The person parentheses himself later, he gives you a valid explanation as to why he made a mistake in Hoidoz Baldin. So the halacha says that you give an amas law. In the end of Ksuba, such a case. Such a case in the end of the last pack of Ksuba. Let's say you're living on a karka. I used to own this house. Now you're living in a house. And I'm tumble and you're ready for a couple of years that he's a ganef, he's living in my house, he kicked me out, whatever. I went there, his son, he snuck in, he moved in, he's living there. And I said, I'm going to bring him to a dinter. Then one fine day, but I never brought him to the dinter. One fine day, he's selling the house to someone else. So he needs witnesses to sign on the shtar. So he's machabed me, I should serve as one of the eidim on the shtar. So I sign on the shtar. After I sign on the shtar, then I bring the new guy. I bring the lakeh to the dinter. I say, you purchased a stolen house. The house really belonged to me. And the first fellow who sold it to you was a ganef. He stole it from me. So the lakeh says, what do you mean he's a ganef? So typish. So what did you sign on the document? If you signed on the shtar mechira, the hadras baldin, that it's a valid mechira. You knew which house he was selling. There was no secret. You knew he's selling the house that you had. You were claiming for years that it's a ganef. So I say, yes, I knew it was that house, but he's on the sugar. I can't get anywhere with him. If I'll bring him to the dinner, he's going to bribe all of the yon, and he's going to tzedrei akop, he's going to make everybody crazy. I say, Hasheni noyachli, harishin kashemene, the first guy is a tough cookie, I can't get the first base with him. You're a nice, easygoing guy, so I wanted him to sell you the house. It's like Lifneva, the city of Mitchell. I wanted you to buy the house. I was encouraging you to buy the house, and I signed the shtar in order that I should be able to win the dinter, because you're an honest guy. So you'll be a tzayis dina. The first guy is a late tzayis dina. You'll be a tzayis dina. So there's a machlokes hatanoim in the Mishnah. Is that a valid amaskla? When he says hasheni noyachli, you hasheni means the lokeach, the one who bought it from the moicher, and I'm screaming for years. The Mecha is a Kanef, so is that a valid Amas? I made a Hadas Baldin by signing the Shtar that itself is. I find it that the house is mine and he's stealing it, then I sign on the Shtar Mechir. So the signing on the Shtar Mechir is an implicit. He didn't say explicitly that it's his. Implicitly, he just made a Hadas Baldin. But then later on, he wants to back out from the Hadas Baldin with this Amas. So you see from the Mishnah, the principle is that you can back out with an Amasla, the Machloikas HaTanayim, and the last paragraph of services. Is that a valid Amasla? Is that an acceptable Amasla? Is that a normal thing that people would do that? Well, what do you mean? I'm going to make you lose $500,000 in order that I should be... This is Mamish Lifneva. I'm saying I did an Amasla to be master you in Eitz Hashem Hugenis to sign on the document in order that you should buy it, in order that I should be able to get it from you in Bezin. So that's a machlokes hatanaim. Is that a valid amasa? In any given case, whenever somebody makes a hadar's valdin, which is kenei edim dam, and then he wants to back out by giving an amasla, the bezin has to determine whether the amasla lektach hatan seichel or lektach nishtatan seichel. Does he seem to be telling the truth, or does he not seem to be telling the truth? And the same is true regarding another din, which is according to the ktsois identical with the din of hadar's valdin kenei edim. There's another halacha of shavi anafshe katichet isur. Means like this. Let's say a woman comes to the community. We don't know who she is, whether she's single or married. Not wearing a shekel. She doesn't have any children. She looks young. So maybe she's single. When she was born, she was single. She wasn't an ashesish before she was born. She has what we call a cheskes penuyim. So if the woman says she's single, she's single. We take the word for it. The girl comes to the community. She says that she said, people are interested. Nice, young, pretty girl. So boys call her up, they're interested in taking out. She says, I'm sorry, I'm married. So they say, where's the husband? He's on his way. He has to wrap up, he has to sell the house, wherever. She says, she's waiting for the husband to come. A couple of months go by. Another guy calls her up, so she's interested. She goes out, she gets married. So the bezin says, how you talking? But you said you're married, you're waiting for your husband. So she says, that's not true. She says, the first guy, I wasn't interested. He's not good looking, he's not religious enough, he's not intelligent enough. I didn't want to insult him. I tell him, you're stupid, you're not good looking. So I tell him I'm an ashesish. Easy. I tell him, I don't have to think something. I tell him an ashesish. So pasuk. That's the end of the whole story. But now that a proper candidate came along, so now I'll tell you the truth is that it's, I wasn't interested in the first guy, I'm interested in the second guy. And she backs out from her statement originally. So the Gemara says, to establish the facts regarding the status of the woman, whether she is an Ashishish or not, strictly speaking, you should require two kosher eidim. Because that's considered a Dovash Adiyarva. And Dovash Adiyarva needs two witnesses. You have a Zereshavah and a Pasuk. It says, Al Pishnayim, Al Pishlosh Eidim, Yochum Dovar. That's by Mominus. The two psukim, one pasuk by Mominus and one pasuk by the kosher. Pasuk by Mominus is Al Pishneidim, Al Pishloshedim, Yochum Dover. Then you need two kosher Eidim or above to establish the facts in Mominus. Then you have the other pasuk, Al Pishneidim, Al Pishloshedim, Yumas Hameis, that by the kosher you need two Eidim. There is no real pasuk explicitly that says that you need two Eidim for Dovash Adiyarva. But the Gemara learns it with Xerah Shavah. It says, Ki Motza Bo Erebaz Dover, the husband has to divorce his wife if he ascertains that Ishta Zinso, she's a Saita Surah Labaila. How did he ascertain that she was a Zaita? Well, he has a private eye. How did he figure that out? So it's Ki Motza Bo Erebaz Dover, Dover Dover Mimam, and it means you have to have two witnesses. So just like Al Pishnei Eid and Yochum Dover, just like indeed the moment is the word, the Dover has the connotation of Bira, Ideshne Eid, and so too. So that's how we have established that in these three areas of halacha you need two kosher eidim. The mamas and the fashas is black and white, and the dovash of the erev it's not black and white, and you read in between lines. And there's a slight difference between the two because of the fact that it's not black and white. We discussed it a long time ago. Why in dovash of the erev there is no explicit pasuk? It's only derived towards the erev. So it's slightly less chomer than mamas and the fashas. That's the halacha. All three areas you need two kosher eidim. So if a woman comes and says that I am married, I am an Ashishish, so you really should not accept that. First of all, it's only Eid Echot. Secondly, it's an Eid Echot possible. A woman is not kosher ladies. You have to have two kosher Eidim men. Thirdly, she's not the Baldover alayim. The Baldover for sure, even if it would be a man. Baldover himself is not kosher ladies. So you have three strikes against him. And nonetheless, the woman comes and she says Ashishish and me is Nemenis. She's not allowed, and we wouldn't permit her to marry anybody. Why? Because Shavi Anafshei Chaticha Disura. The woman established herself as an Ashishish, even though there's insufficient evidence to establish her as such. But that's the halacha. Shavi Anafshei Chaticha Disura. So the Tzais HaChoshen and Hilchos Seder has a famous dispute with earlier Achrayim about the nature of these two dinim. And Yeshiva is very famous. There's a machlokes, the Ketzos and the Ma'arid and Leiv, the early Achrayim, that what's the nature of the din of Hadar's Baal Din Kenei Eidim Dam. The fellow admits, I admit that I owe you $1,000. How is that good? Our local says you have to have two kosher Eidim. I'm only Eid Echot. I'm not two Eidim. Number two, I'm the Baal Dover Aleh. thou my belief. So the answer is, Hadoaz Balbin Kamein. How does that work? So the early Achrayim said, it doesn't really work by Mominus. Look at, he says he wants to give you $1,000, so let him give him. First he admits that he owes him $1,000, then before he pays him the money, then he backs out. So why can't he back out? Calls money, doesn't back out. He doesn't say, okay, you say you owe him the money, so give him the money. But if he backs out before he gives him the money, the woman says, I'm an Eish HaSish. And then she wants to marry someone, so she says, I'm not an Eish HaSish. So why can't she back out? What's wrong? She keeps on screaming, I'm an Eish HaSish. Of course, we say, look, lady, if you're an Eish HaSish, don't marry someone else. Don't violate Leisina. But the minute she changes her mind, why don't we permit her to change her mind? There was no Birur. So that's the halacha. It does, Baldin is binding. And Shavyana Shechatech, this is binding. Why is it binding? So the Ktzais quotes the early Achrayim, a few centuries before him, who thought, 3 centuries before, 1400s, the 1500s, they thought that Hadoaz Baldin is a Hizchaitis. When I admit that I owe you $1,000, it's like I made a Kabbalah's Kinyan to obligate myself to give you $1,000. And when I say I'm an Eish HaSish, I'm really not believed to establish myself as an Eish HaSish. She's an Edefa, she's an Isha, and she's the Baldover Alein. She's not really the menace, but it's as if she had taken a Nether or a Shvua to act as if she's an Eish HaSish. So that's why it's binding, you can't let it change your mind, because of a Neder Rishwa. If it's a Neder Rishwa, let it make a Hatoros Nedar. So we will mach me with the Rabbanah to not even allow a Hatoros Nedar. That's how the early Achrayim said. And the Ktzais HaShchoshen comes and he says it's all wrong, it's against the Gemara. The Pharisee, he quotes one Gemara after the other Gemara, many Gemaras, against Psukim and Rishonim and Gemaras, it's not true. The two Dinim are Mamash Hainuach, and he quotes a passage in the Gemara increases, and Perek Omru Loi, where the Gemara says an expression, and he says that is the basis of the two dinim. They're identical. And based on the same principle, but it's only let's say the woman will admit that she's an Eishesis. Then she's going to go have an affair with someone else. We're not going to give a misa. The woman will admit the grace that she is a grusha lekayin, and she's going to marry a guy. We're going to give a malchus? No. In order to give Malchus a Misa, you have to have a Birur to the Bezin. Has to be Nizbar to the Bezin. This is not Nizbar Lachem. This is Adam Neman al Atzmo, Beinola Beinatzmo Liatzmo. That's the Lashon HaGemara in Greece. Beinola Beinatzmo Liatzmo. What do you mean? He says he owes the money. So let him pay the money. She says she's an Eish HaSish. She's not allowed to violate the Din of Eish HaSish. So since these two dinim are identical, mamish, they stem from the same principle. Adam lemon alatzmi yosem imayish. That's what the Ktzais HaChoshen quotes. It's in the Ramadalan or so. Nil Chasedis, he quotes this from the Gemara in Krisis. So therefore, they're both governed with the same rule. The Mishnais have both. That both in the case of the Eish HaSish, the girl comes to the community and someone wants to take her out on a date. She says, sorry, I'm married. And then a couple of months later, she goes and she agrees to get married to someone else. So they say, how you talking? So she says the first ones were not good. And the Bezin thinks that it's a good explanation. They look into it, they see. The first guy wasn't good looking, and he wasn't so religious, and he wasn't so miyuchas, whatever. And the second one has all the mindless. So if the second guy has all the chesrenis and the first guy has all the mindless, the Bezin will not accept the amas. It's baloney. But if the Bezin sees that it's really so, it corresponds to reality. So then the Bezin will accept the Amas. And the same thing, a person made a Hadoaz Baldin, and then later on he backs out and he gives the whole explanation. Why he made a Hadoaz Baldin? The Bezin is satisfied with the explanation. The Amas says accepted is satisfactory. So the din is the Shor v'Bishneim. If you have an Amas law, this Adam Naman Alat Nezim Meish can be broken. So that's the Machlokes Hatanayim over here. The Bezin asks, the case by us, the second half of the Mishnah, starting from the first line. The Bezin, everybody presented all the cases, his whole case. Then the Bezin asked, look here, we would rather not keep on going back and forth. Tell us, do you have any more rayas? Do you have any more shtoras? Do you have any more any? He says, that's it. I got no more. Then there's the other one. Do you have any more? No more. Nobody forced him. Nobody twisted his arm. Each one made a statement, not under pressure. They don't have any more rayas. Then later on, the guy pops up with a raya. And he starts explaining, ay, the secretary put it on the B instead of on the R, if I would have known. So should the Bezin consider that a satisfactory amasla or not? In every case, the Bezin has to determine whether the Amasla seems plausible or not. So that's a machlokes hatanaim. Does this seem to be a valid Amasla or not? So Rav Shimon Gamliel says, what do you want? Versus their shuldik. Mayasas there shalahoya yadeh sheesh lo edim amatzerim, lahayadeh sheesh lo raya amatzerim. It wasn't his fault. He made a mistake. He explains to the Bezdin, and it seems to be a satisfactory explanation, that there was a mistake involved. And the Tanakhama says, no, that this is, we do not consider this a satisfactory amatzerim. The same machloikis, not identical, similar to the machloikis hatanaim in the last parak in Ksubis. He says that the other fellow's not gone. If he's living in my house, I'm going to bring him. I'm going to bring him to a dintor. I keep on threatening. I never bring him to a dintor. Then when he's about to sell the stolen house, the claim of a stolen house to someone else, he asks me, and I sign on the shtar. And then he sells it to the other guy. Then I turn around the next day, I bring the new guy to a dintor. He's living in my house that's stolen, and I bring all the evidence that it's mine. So he says, what are you talking about? But you signed on the shtar. You made a hadoz modin. So I give an amaslo, hasheni noyachli harishin kashimen. So this is a machlokes hatanaim. Is that considered a satisfactory amaslo? Well, it's not considered a satisfactory amaslo. The amaslo has to be to the satisfaction of the business. So sometimes you have machlokes hatanaim, whether that's satisfactory or not. You have a shulchan aruch, different cases, where the achrayim have disputes. The end of the Siman Aleph and Yeridei, there's a whole discussion, when is it a satisfactory Amasla, but it's not a satisfactory Amasla. So that seems to be the Machlokes here. In the second case, the Gemara says, we don't pass like Rav Shimon and Amriel. Kamok, Mishashana, Rav Shimon, Ben Gamliel, the Mishnah Seinu, Halacha, Kimosa, whenever the Mishnah quotes the opinion of Rav Shimon and Gamliel, even though he's in disagreement with the majority, and usually we say, Halacha, Kirabim, Acharam, Lahakas, but we should always pass like Rav Shimon and Amriel. Means the Amoraim voted on each case, and they saw whenever Rav Shimon Gamliel is quoted in the Mishnah, he seems to be right. But there are either one or three exceptions to the rule. This for sure is one of them. The second Mishnah, the Rav Shimon Gamliel says that it is a good Amasla. So here his opinion is not accepted. We don't accept that as a good Amasla. The case that I said may be not correct. I gave a case. He pins the blame on the secretary, and the secretary comes in and she says, yeah, I made a mistake, I put it on the B instead of R, it looked like a B, and she didn't realize it was an R. Maybe that would be a good Amasla. Mishnah doesn't have that case. Maybe all the time I would agree that it is a good Amasla. The secretary comes and she says, I filed it incorrectly in the file cabinet. So maybe there everybody would agree. But in the case where the person himself says Toisi, is Toisi considered a valid Amasla? And then the Gemara says, but there are some cases that for sure are valid Amasla. Let's say you have a din Torah, Yisoymeh. The father had a business and he passed away, and then he leaves over the estate to the children. The children have no notion at all what's doing with the business of the father. And after the father dies, every Tom, Dick, and Harry comes and he says, the father owed me $1,000, $5,000, $1,000,000, everybody's going to come. No, they have to work out to whom they have to pay, whom they don't have to pay. So the Yisoymeh had a din Torah, and the Bezdin asked, is that it? Do you have more right? The Amoraim Yisoymeh said, we have no more right. And then later on, Edim come up. Bazan they showed the Kitaka didn't know. So the Gemara says, that's a bona fide Amasla. This stuff, L'choladeh, is a good Amasla. That's how the Gemara says. Even the Chachamim who don't accept... how does the Gemara say? Hahu Yenuke... About 8 lines from the bottom. There was a little child. Ahu Yenuka, the line begins with the word Ahu Yenuka, the Tavu, the Dina Kame, the Rav Nachman. That is in Torah. So Rav Nachman asked the little kid, Islach Sahadi, do you have any more witnesses up there? Do you have any more stories up there? And then later, Sachive Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman Paskin, that he has to pay. And then the kid was crying. Avi Kapochi, the elderly, was crying. He lost the Din Torah, he didn't have to pay so much money. And then the neighbors heard that he was crying, and they heard what the whole story was, and said, what are you talking about? We know that it's not so, and they come and they testify. So the shayla says, is that a good amasla? And the Gemara said, of course it's a good amasla. The kid is a little kid. How did he know? Of course it's a good amasla. Yenuka doesn't necessarily mean that it was a cotton. The discussion of Rishon doesn't mean that he was a cotton, or even if he was a gadol. The whole, in this case, Afila Rabban and Moda, even the Chachamim would agree that that's a valid amasla. Why? The Yenuk in the middle of the Abu Allah Yoda. How is he supposed to know about his father's business? That's a valid Amasla. And he says later on, I made a mistake and the neighbors set me straight and they told me what the story was. So everybody's Masla. So that's...
Is there a kind of a mouthful?
No. It has to be reasonable to the satisfaction. Could be to any Besen, but it has to be to the satisfaction of the Besen who's dealing with the case. They have to be convinced that he's telling the truth now. They have to consider it a satisfactory amount. Just in recent years, there was a whole case, I think here part of the story happened in Brooklyn. I don't know the case personally, but the way it was written up in the newspapers, they wrote, maybe it's all not true, I don't know, it could be, it's all Shemra, Moshnar. They said there was a man who was holding by getting divorced from his wife, and that the wife had claims against him, a moment about her rights, whatever, so he was going to two up his wife in order to force her into forgoing all of her claims. So they had a young daughter, so he said, Kidashti is beaten. They said he was Makabal Kedushin for his daughter. She wasn't Bar Mitzvah. She wasn't Bat Mitzvah, so the father has the right to Makabal Kedushin. So he said, Kidashti is beaten, the daughter's going to be stuck for life. And he doesn't say who the chosin is. And he's not going to say who the chosin is unless the wife agrees. I think that's the way they wrote her up in the papers. I don't know. It could be that the husband is here in the audience. I don't know. I beg your forgiveness if I'm insulting you. I don't know. But they wrote up in the newspapers like that, that the husband was trying to force the wife to forego her rights to whatever, something, I forgot already, the whole Chagadya. So he said, Kidashti is beating, and I'm not going to say who the husband is until the wife is Michael everything, and then he'll admit. So after they went to court, and then were to prosecute the husband for endangering the welfare of a minor. The girl wasn't even Bas Mitzvah, he married her off. You have no right to marry her off. And the rabbi who was Mitzvah Kedushin was going to go to prison, whatever, for performing a marriage on a minor, whatever. So then, when they were holding by the court case, so the husband said the whole thing is a lie, he was never Mekabel Kedushin for the daughter. And he only said it in order to give his wife a heart attack, that she should either drop dead or she should forgo the payment of the money. So the question is, and people thought that was the case all along. A lot of people thought that was the case all along. So the question, and it seems like a very good amasla, it fits in, everything seems to fit in, which Meshuggah is going to marry off his daughter, Azahom, Gidreit the case. Makes good sense. So the question is the father Bagloit to say, after a year and a half of tumbling in the newspapers back and forth and harassment, is he believed now to say that the whole thing was a lie? He only said it in order to gain the yacht. So Rabbanim had a lot to write about this case. So just offhand, without passing the din, what's the nature of the din that the father is bagloit to say Kidashti is beaten? What is the basis of that din? So the Gemara in Kiddushin, in the Sama, the Gemara in Kiddushin has a machlokas amaroi. If a woman says, Eish es ish ani, a woman comes into the community, a young girl, as far as we're concerned, she could have fooled us into believing that she's single. She says, Eish es ish ani, it's a shavya nafshas haskita di yisuri story. And then she goes and she's mezana with someone else. So the Gemara is pretty clear that there's no misa, there's no malchus. A girl says, I'm a grusha, the coin, she goes and she marries a coin. We're not going to give her malchus, because Odom Nemer Ashavi Anafshei, Chatichet Yisur, is what the Gemara calls Odom Nemer Al Atzmo, Beno Lebein Atzmo Liatzmo. For Bezin to give malchus, or Miso, you have to have a birur that's to the satisfaction of the Bezin. This is Beno Lebein Atzmo Liatzmo. This doesn't mevarer anything for the Bezin, it's only mevarer for that party themselves. So the Gemara has a machlokes amaroi. When a man says, Kidashti is biti, and the girl is only 10 years old, and then a couple of years go, he says, Kidashti is biti, this is the chosin. And then a couple of years go by, the girl celebrates her bas mitzvah, and then let's say she goes and she's mezana with someone else. Would you give nisa based on that? If the girl did to someone else, would you give nisa based on that? When the father is believed to say, Kidashti is biti, is that an emonis, like an emonis of two eidim, or not? So that's a machlokes, we paskin no. We paskin, there's no malchus and there's no misa. What's the issue? What's the nekudas of machlokes? So in the chidush yor sameach al hashas, he writes over there a razzle dazzle pshat. It really says in the Pesach Tshuva. Pesach Tshuva, the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch, next to the Behet, it has this From one of the Achronim, the Brisa Roma, one of the Poskin has this chat, but he doesn't have it with the whole razzle dazzle sparkle like the Osamech writes. But it's basically the same thing on the page in Ebenezer, that the Machlokes Amoraim, whether the father, when the father says Kiddushti is Biti, whether Malkin or Mimisin, based on that, Machlokes is like this. The father, the nature of the din of Neman is that the father is believed to say Kiddushti is Biti. Is that basically an extension of Shavya Nafshei Chatiche Bisur? Like a woman is believed to say Eshes Ishanis, a father is believed as if the daughter is part of him. As if it's also a Shavya Nafshei, even though he and the daughter are two different people, it's an extension of the institution of Shavya Nafshei. In which case, it's only Beinola Beinatzmo Liatzmo, wouldn't give any Malchus Amis. Or do you say, no, that's not an extension of the prince, it's not a branch of the din of Shavya Nafshei, that's an Emonis. There's a din of Eid Echot, there's a din of Shnei, there's a din of different parashis of Emonis, and the father is Baklait. The father is believed to say Kiddushti is Biti. It's Biti Nasat Elishazeh. HaTorah Hamino La'af to say Kiddushti is Biti. If he's an Emon, so it should be Malchus and Misa as well. So the Yosameach and Acharim say that's the Machlokes, and what's the Maskana that the father, when the father says Kiddushti is Biti, there's no Malchus, there's no Misa. What does it mean? That the whole nature of the Emonis of the father is only an extension of the din of Shavya Nafshei. So it's only an extension of the din of Shavya Nafshei. Then the Mishnayis and the Gemaras tell us that whenever it's Shavya Nafshei, or whenever it's Hadoaz Baldin, if you have an Amasla, you can back out. So the Pashtus is that the husband finally, after a year and a half of harassing the wife, and saying that he was Mekabel Kiddushin in the Kiddushik Pan, Mekabel Kiddushin for the daughter, and he's not going to say who it is unless she fulfills all of her rights and privileges. Then he finally admits the whole thing is a lie. You put two and two together, it looks like it's a lie. From day number one, the stomach was a lie, the whole thing is a fake. So if you have an Amasla, the Pashto says that he should be believed to back out. That's what it should have been. That's what it should have been. So how come there's so much literature? How come they made everybody was writing to America, so from America, how come everybody was talking? The problem is because the Shef Shmaitzer, who deals with these kind of things, Nemanis and Birurim, so the Shef Shmaitzer quotes a Tshuvas Haran, who quotes the Balei HaTosfos say Natsa. When the father says Kiddushti is Biti, and later he wants to back out with an Amasla, so there's a Tshuvas Haran that quotes in the name of the Balei HaTosfos that he's Eino Neman with an Amasla. So that was the whole crux of the issue. Are we mechuyev to worry about the Sheikh Shmaitzer's quotation from the Tshuvas Haran Mishen Balei HaTosfos? Because based on the, if you wouldn't have that Sheikh Shmaitzer's quotation, just putting together all the Gemaras, should have followed that the Nemanis of the father to say Kiddushti is Biti does not lead up to Malchus and Misa Chavos Nish, because it's a branch of the din of Shavya Nafshei. Shavya Nafshei, Amasla does help. That's Mishnayis and Gemaras. The same as Odoaz Baldin Amasla, so Shavya Nafshei should also help. So based on the Gemara, if you would just have Gemaras, we would have said that the husband is Bagloit. The husband should be believed to back out with an Amasla if the Bezdin would be satisfied. Look, they have to interrogate the guy. Could be that he says now the whole thing was a lie because he doesn't want to sit in prison. Could be it's not an acceptable Amasla. So they have to give him a lie detector test and they have to discuss it with him a little longer. So why did you say this and why did you do that and why didn't you do it like this? You have to make a drishu a hakira. If the Bezdin, I don't know who the Bezdin was in the Baal, if the Bezdin would be satisfied with Amasla, so Medina the Gemara, the Pashtus is that it should be that. The whole reason why there was a Gansu Tzara was because the Tshuva Saran quotes in the name of the Balei HaTosfos such a Maisa Shehoyah, and he says that Amasla does not help for the father to back out when he said on his daughter that Kiddushti is Biti. So that was the problem. Why not? The Pashtus is that it should help. It should be, like we made the Chesed, it should be an extension of the din of Shavya Nafshin, it should be good. The din is that he is believed. Sapatik, the din is that he is believed. The Erechot is not believed. Yeah.
But the Gemara here, what's the basis of that
Erechot? The Pasuk. It's Bitin Asad Lisha Zer. So the Gemara says the Torah believes the Father to say.
The
Gemara says that. The father, yeah, Gemara says based on the pasuk, the father is bagloif to say Kiddushti is Biti, even though there are no witnesses.
No.
Yeah. The shaila is, is he believed to say, Kiddashti and Zbikten, I'm not going to tell you who. Maybe he's not talking like that, but some Rabbanim say. Yeah, but the Nemanis is based on the Pasuk. That's how the Chazal understood the Pasuk. But the question is, what's the nature of the Nemanis? Is it an independent Nemanis, or should you say no? It falls under the category of Shabi and Nafshe, with a little stretch that is called Anafshe, even Lagabi the door. And if that's the case, that's how the Arsameach and the Pisfik Shuga say. And if that's the case, then it should follow that the Masna should be good. And the reason why they were tumbling what the Psak should be is because the Shuga Saran says otherwise. Well, the Gemara says Tesha. Most of the Rishonim called Pasha, so it's only good Terka de Bibon. Tesha and Amafreya is no good.
No, but you see, it's also if it starts there, then she's also
good. Could be it's a buffet of Shigma. Could be you're
right.
Is he Nemma to say next time? Mina Tesha Salamafreya. If he says Kiddashti is beaten, makes Baila Terka de Dibur, that's a Pesha Sapesha Itri. If he says Kiddashti is beaten, then 2 years go by and he says Meis Baila. Is he believed now? That's a Shaila, that's a Machlekis Rashi and Tesla. But he says Pesha Osa la Mafreya. We have a problem. Nigal la Mafreya is no good. And Biyoda la Mafreya is no good. Nigal la Mafreya is Gimoris and Chesu Sabbatim. Biyoda la Mafreya is also no good. What about Pesha Osa la Mafreya? So that's a Machlekes Rashi and Tesis is the end of Pesuk. This in 2 days in Ebenezer, 2 days in Shulchan Aruch. Some Machrenim passing like Rashi, that Pesha Salam Afreya is good. If he was the one who said Kiddashti is Biti, so he's never even 10 years down the road to say Meisbal, Pesha Salam. Or let him be believed Al Zeidecho to say Meisbal, the Takana de Rabban, Eidecho, okay. On the level of the Rabban, some is believed to say Meisbal. Well, that's for sure good. Yeah. On the level of the rice, may also be based on Teshos, but you say on the level of the Rabbanim, that's what says Meis Baila. Yeah. Okay. Maybe we'll stop over here. The last 4 lines, Hahi Itza, the Nokik Shtor, Mitoise Yodei. Rav Soloveitchik gave a whole yardside drosh on that. So, he quoted some Rishonim, don't hold his whole yardside drosh. But he thought that he had something here. So maybe believe that. And next week we'll talk about this Gemara and we'll go by to. Okay. Maybe I'll just say a short comment on Parshas Noach. At the end of Parshas Noach, the Chumash says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a Krisis Bris with Noach and with all of humanity and with all the behemoths and the chayis and so on. They'll never again bring a marble to the world. And the Ois HaGriz was the Keshes. So the Ramban HaKumish explains it doesn't necessarily mean that until after the marble there was no such thing as a Keshes. He says that based on principles of physics it should come out that there was always an institution of Keshes. It should have been from Sheshes and Ibrashes. Why did it take so many generations? It took 10 generations till the Keshes was developed. So he says he doesn't think there was a Shini and Tevdur. There always was a Keshes. But the Rabbanu Shalom said, you see that keshes that always forms in the clouds, you should take it now as an ice for the bris. Why is the keshes an ice for the bris? So you explain it. Why do we call it a keshes? Why do we call it a keshes? Keshes means a bow, like you have a bow and an arrow. So you have, when you have a bow and you want to shoot, so the round part is in that direction and the string is over here. And you pull the string and it shoots towards the direction where the round part is. So if the Rabbanu Shlom is gunning out to get us, so to speak, then he would have to catch us the other way. It's a physical thing, it's a principle of physics. That's the way the rainbow develops when there's rain. But he says, if you don't understand physics, if one wouldn't understand, just see Keshes, so if you want to demonstrate that Rabbanu Shlom is out to get us, so the bow would be the other way. The bow would be this way, and the string would be that. When the Rabbanu Shalom is ready to shoot, so the Rabbanu Shalom says, you see that? Take it as a sign, I'm not going to shoot you. The bow is the other way. It's facing up to the heaven, facing up to the sky. It's not facing down. Okay, that's the Ois HaBris. And what is the essence of the Bris? What is the essence of the Bris? The essence of the Bris is that the Ribbono Shel Olam is not going to punish Rishoyim, that there's no more Tchav Yoynish. That's ridiculous. Leis Din V'Leis Dayan. So the Ramban says no. Ramban HaChumash has a comment that you can have Dina Takif and you can have Dina Rafi, you can have strict judgment. Sometimes you go to different judges on the exact same case, so you know that he's a softy, he won't punish so hard, and he's a toughie, he's gonna put you in prison for 25 years. So the Ramban just says, not that the Ribbono Shel Olam is giving up from now on, he's going to give up on Mishpat and Tzedek and not going to punish the Rishon. No, there's going to be punishment, there's going to be Schar B'Yonesh, but instead of having Dina Takif, it's going to be Dina Rafia. He's going to judge with Rachmanis. He's not going to be too strict. But just the Musug of a Bris is a very, this is the first time the Ribbono Shel Olam ever made a Bris with a human being. That's a very fascinating concept. Gemara has a whole sugim of about kniyat v'chamor. A person wants to, you make a kabbalist kinyan that I have $1 million in the state, and I'm very wealthy, and I want you and the chamor to be koinim. So the Gemara says, the chamor is out of the question, the chamor is not koinim. Chamor can't be koinim, mama, only human beings can be koinim. Even an akum, you don't say, zachum v'yodim shlodim v'chamor. So chamor is not shach that you should own. So the Gemara has a whole three-way machlokes. When you say kiniyat v'chamor, are you kind of all? Are you kind of half, and the other half remains mine, or you're not kind of anything? Just like chamor is not kind of anything, but the chamor is out of the question. The chamor is not going to be kind. So does it make sense to make a Christmas bris between a human being and a chamor? There's no baldover. A Christmas bris, you have to have. It's an agreement. It's a contract. So you have to have two baldover. So does it make sense to have a Christmas bris between Hakodesh Baruch Hu and a Basad Adam? The whole thing doesn't make any sense. What should I have to make a krisis bris? Just like nevuah, the Rambam has yud gimel ikori ha'emunah. So the Rambam writes that there are two ikori ha'emunah. One is that we believe that there's such a thing as nevuah. Nevuah is possible, and it happened. And number two, we believe that Moshe Rabbeinu was the Adon HaLevi. What's the first chiddush? We believe nevuah is possible because there were those at the course who didn't believe that nevuah is possible. How is it meet and layomer? We carry on a conversation, a person with a person. Carry on a conversation, it's a malach with a malach. Carry on a conversation, the Ribbono Shel Olam carries on a conversation with a human being. So it doesn't make sense. So the Rambam says, despite the fact that if it doesn't really make any sense, they should take in tarach, that it happened, that the Ribbono Shel Olam does carry on conversations with human beings. So this is really a big chiddush that the Ribbono Shel Olam makes increases risk. He enters into a shutfis with a human being. It's a reciprocal agreement. If I'll do this, he'll do that. And if he'll do that, I'll do this. He treats us, he elevates us to the level like quite a hashibis. He gives us quite a hashibis. He gives us like a machta, he gives us a shlishi. He says, I'm treating you like as if you're an equal, so to speak, and I'm going to make a krisis bris with you. That the gewaldige chesed, the gewaldige midas chasidus on the part of the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't just promise to us that he's not going to destroy the world. He says he's making a krisis bris as if there are two parties, two bali dvorim, two bali dinim, who can talk together, negotiate with each other, and he's making it a reciprocal agreement that he's, if we're going to do this, he's going to do that, like a schiras poilim, an agreement. That's a chiddush, that's the first time in Tanakh, first time in the history of the world, that there was a krisis bris between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and human beings. You have krisis bris in between Hava Nichasar Bris Beinid Bein Echa, Avraham Avinu makes the bris with this one, with that, and with human beings, but the bris between the Ribbono Shel Olam and human beings and animal, it says with animals also. Quite a chashib is that the Ribbono Shel Olam is giving to all of mankind and all of the animal kingdom that he's kind enough to make a bris with them, to give machshibas as if they're something to consider.
As Bitin Asati Lisha Zeh, you say Eina Mikra Yetzim Dei Pshuta, so you have to say who it is.
Yeah. He said, the Gemara says like that. Bitin Asati, the father is Nemo. He said, Elisha Zeh, that's Apesho Asapeshi. He believed he said the second step.
Oh.
So the Gemara would appear, I think it says like that. You have to check this one. The second pair of things would appear that if he only says the first step is not the second step, he is believed.
That he is believed.
It sounds, I think, what? That he is believed. But Shad, what if he says, I was Mekadosh my daughter for someone and I'm not going to tell you who it is? That may be different. The Gemara doesn't say I'm not going to tell you. That's the question. Does he even believe in such cases? Some Rabban or Shlomo Zalman said he's not believed. He said they don't make the Matzmei Rosha to do such a vicious. Rabbi Zalman said a chiddush. His father is not bad voice to say that he did such a wish.
Shkayach. Did you get a chance to talk? I called a few months ago about the shogar with the shiv.
He's
interested.
Yeah,
he is. Oh, so maybe I can call with the details.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. I got the call back.
Yeah.
He is interested. Yeah.
Okay.
That's your business. That's your wisdom. Bro.
It's an article or something. I don't know.
I'm sorry, 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 I